it cannot disqualify some private schools solely because they are religious. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Supreme Opinion Podcast. My name is Adam Bolinsky, and you just heard an excerpt of my reading of Espinoza v. Montana. A really important and recent Supreme Court case came out on just June 30th of this year, and it has to do with religious freedom, education, and the Establishment Clause. Now, the Establishment Clause is the part of the Constitution that has to do with the separation of church and state. So how entangled can the federal government and state governments get with religions and religious organizations and religious education? So I'm going to read to you today the entire opinion of the court. It was a close one. The court voted on this 5-4, and the opinion of the court was delivered by Chief Justice Roberts. So that's what I'll read to you in entirety, unabridged, uncondensed, as promised. Here goes. The Montana legislature established a program to provide tuition assistance to parents who send their children to private schools. The program grants a tax credit to anyone who donates to certain organizations that in turn award scholarships to selected students attending such schools. When petitioners sought to use the scholarships at a religious school, the Montana Supreme Court struck down the program. The court relied on the no aid provision of the state constitution, which prohibits any aid to a school controlled by a church, sect, or denomination. The question presented is whether the Free Exercise Clause of the United States Constitution barred that application of the no aid provision. In 2015, the Montana legislature sought to provide parental and student choice in education by enacting a scholarship program for students attending private schools. The program grants a tax credit of up to $150 to any taxpayer who donates to a participating student scholarship organization. The scholarship organizations then use the donations to award scholarships to children for tuition at a private school. So far, only one scholarship organization, Big Sky Scholarships, has participated in the program. Big Sky focuses on providing scholarships to families who face financial hardship or have children with disabilities. Scholarship organizations like Big Sky must, among other requirements, maintain an application process for awarding the scholarships, use at least 90% of all donations on scholarship awards, and comply with state reporting and monitoring requirements. A family whose child is awarded a scholarship under the program may use it at any qualified education provider, that is, any private school that meets certain accreditation, testing, and safety requirements. Virtually every private school in Montana qualifies. Upon receiving a scholarship, the family designates its school of choice, and the scholarship organization sends the scholarship funds directly to the school. Neither the scholarship organization nor its donors can restrict awards to particular types of schools. The Montana legislature allotted $3 million annually to fund the tax credits beginning in 2016. If the annual allotment is exhausted, it increases by 10% the following year. The program is slated to expire in 2023. The Montana legislature also directed that the program be administered in accordance with Article 10, Section 6 of the Montana Constitution, which contains a no-aid provision barring government aid to sectarian schools. In full, that provision states, and I quote, "Aid prohibited to sectarian schools. The legislature, counties, cities, towns, school districts, and public corporations shall not make any direct or indirect appropriation or payment from any public fund or monies, or any grant of lands or other property for any sectarian purpose, or to aid any church, school, academy, seminary, college, university, or other literary or scientific institution controlled in whole or in part by any church, sect, or denomination." Close quote. Shortly after the scholarship program was created, the Montana Department of Revenue promulgated Rule 1 over the objection of the Montana Attorney General. That administrative rule prohibited families from using scholarships at religious schools. It did so by changing the definition of qualified education provider to exclude any school owned or controlled in whole or in part by any church, religious sect, or denomination. The department explained that the rule was needed to reconcile the scholarship program with the no-aid provision of the Montana Constitution. The Montana Attorney General disagreed. In a letter to the department, he advised that the Montana Constitution did not require excluding religious schools from the program, and if it did, it would very likely violate the United States Constitution by discriminating against the schools and their students. The Attorney General is not representing the department in this case. This suit was brought by three mothers, whose children attend Stillwater Christian School in northwestern Montana. Stillwater is a private Christian school that meets the statutory criteria for qualified education providers. It serves students in pre-kindergarten through 12th grade, and petitioners chose the school in large part because it teaches the same Christian values that they teach at home. The child of one petitioner has already received scholarships from Big Sky, and the other petitioner's children are eligible for scholarships and plan to apply. While in effect, however, Rule 1 blocked petitioners from using scholarship funds for tuition at Stillwater. To overcome that obstacle, petitioners sued the Department of Revenue in Montana State Court. Petitioners claimed that Rule 1 conflicted with the statute that created the scholarship program and could not be justified on the ground that it was compelled by the Montana Constitution's no-aid provision. Petitioners further alleged that the rule discriminated on the basis of their religious views and the religious nature of the school they had chosen for their children. The trial court enjoined Rule 1, holding that it was based on a mistake of law. The court explained that the rule was not required by the no-aid provision because that provision prohibits only appropriations that aid religious schools, not tax credits. The injunctive relief freed Big Sky to award scholarships to students regardless of whether they attended a religious or secular school. For the school year beginning in fall 2017, Big Sky received 59 applications and ultimately awarded 44 scholarships of $500 each. The next year, Big Sky received 90 applications and awarded 54 scholarships of $500 each. Several families, most with incomes of $30,000 or less, used the scholarships to send their children to Stillwater Christian. In December 2018, the Montana Supreme Court reversed the trial court. The court first addressed the scholarship program unmodified by Rule 1, holding that the program aided religious schools in violation of the no-aid provision of the Montana Constitution. In the court's view, the no-aid provision broadly and strictly prohibits aid to sectarian schools. The scholarship program provided such aid by using tax credits to subsidize tuition payments at private schools that are religiously affiliated or controlled in whole or in part by churches. In that way, the scholarship program flouted the state constitution's guarantee to all Montanans that their government will not use state funds to aid religious schools. The Montana Supreme Court went on to hold that the violation of the no-aid provision required invalidating the entire scholarship program. The court explained that the program provided no mechanism for preventing aid from flowing to religious schools, and therefore the scholarship program could not, under any circumstance, be construed as consistent with the no-aid provision. As a result, the tax credit is no longer available to support scholarships at either religious or secular private schools. The Montana Supreme Court acknowledged that an overly broad application of the no-aid provision could implicate free exercise concerns, and that there may be a case where prohibiting the aid would violate the free exercise clause. But the court concluded this is not one of those cases. Finally, the court agreed with petitioners that the department had exceeded its authority in promulgating Rule 1. The court explained that the statute creating the scholarship program had broadly defined qualifying schools to include all private schools, including religious ones, and the department lacked authority to transform that definition with an administrative rule. Several justices wrote separately. All agreed that Rule 1 was invalid, but they expressed differing views on whether the scholarship program was consistent with the Montana and United States constitutions. Justice Gustafson's concurrence argued that the program violated not only Montana's no-aid provision, but also the federal establishment and free exercise clauses. Justice Sandifer echoed the majority's conclusion that applying the no-aid provision was consistent with the free exercise clause, and he dismissed the modern jurisprudence of that clause as unnecessarily complicated due to increasingly value-driven hair-splitting and overstretching. Two justices dissented. Justice Rice would have held that the scholarship program was permissible under the no-aid provision. He criticized the majority for invalidating the program sua sponte, contending that no party had challenged it under the state constitution. Justice Baker also would have upheld the program. In her view, the no-aid provision did not bar the use of scholarships at religious schools, and free exercise concerns could arise under the federal constitution if it did. We granted certiorari. The religion clauses of the First Amendment provide that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. We have recognized a play in the joints between what the Establishment Clause permits and the free exercise clause compels. Here, the parties do not dispute that the scholarship program is permissible under the Establishment Clause, nor could they. We've repeatedly held that the Establishment Clause is not offended when religious observers and organizations benefit from neutral government programs. Any Establishment Clause objection to the scholarship program here is particularly unavailing because the government support makes its way to religious schools only as a result of Montanans independently choosing to spend their scholarships at such schools. The Montana Supreme Court, however, held as a matter of state law that even such indirect government support qualified as aid prohibited under the Montana Constitution. The question for this court is whether the Free Exercise Clause precluded the Montana Supreme Court from applying Montana's no aid provision to bar religious schools from the scholarship program. For purposes of answering that question, we accept the Montana Supreme Court's interpretation of state law, including its determination that the scholarship program provided impermissible aid within the meaning of the Montana Constitution. And we assess whether excluding religious schools and affected families from that program was consistent with the federal Constitution. The Free Exercise Clause, which applies to the states under the 14th Amendment, protects religious observers against unequal treatment and against laws that impose special disabilities on the basis of religious status. Those basic principles have long guided this court. Most recently, the Trinity Lutheran case distilled these and other decisions to the same effect into the unremarkable conclusion that disqualifying otherwise eligible recipients from a public benefit solely because of their religious character imposes a penalty on the free exercise of religion that triggers the most exacting scrutiny. In Trinity Lutheran, Missouri provided grants to help nonprofit organizations pay for playground resurfacing, but a state policy disqualified any organization owned or controlled by a church, sect, or other religious entity. Because of that policy, an otherwise eligible church-owned preschool was denied a grant to resurface its playground. Missouri's policy discriminated against the church simply because of what it is, a church, and so the policy was subject to the strictest scrutiny, which it failed. We acknowledge that the state had not criminalized the way in which the church worshiped, or told the church that it cannot subscribe to a certain view of the gospel. But the state's discriminatory policy was odious to our Constitution all the same. Here too, Montana's no-aid provision bars religious schools from public benefits solely because of the religious character of the schools. The provision also bars parents who wish to send their children to a religious school from those same benefits, again, solely because of the religious character of the school. This is apparent from the plain text. The provision bars aid to any school controlled in whole or in part by any church, sect, or denomination. The provision's title, Aid Prohibited to Sectarian Schools, confirms that the provision singles out schools based on their religious character. And the Montana Supreme Court explained that the provision provides aid to any school that is sectarian, religiously affiliated, or controlled in whole or in part by churches. The provision plainly excludes schools from government aid solely because of religious status. The department counters that Trinity Lutheran does not govern here because the no aid provision applies not because of the religious character of the recipients, but because of how the funds would be used for religious education. In Trinity Lutheran, a majority of the court concluded that the Missouri policy violated the Free Exercise Clause because it discriminated on the basis of religious status. A plurality declined to address discrimination with respect to religious uses of funding or other forms of discrimination. The plurality saw no need to consider such concerns because Missouri had expressly discriminated based on religious identity, which was enough to invalidate the state policy without addressing how government funds were used. This case also turns expressly on religious status and not religious use. The Montana Supreme Court applied the no-aid provision solely by reference to religious status. The court repeatedly explained that the no-aid provision bars aid to schools controlled in whole or in part by churches, sectarian schools, and religiously affiliated schools. Applying this provision to the scholarship program, the Montana Supreme Court noted that most of the private schools that would benefit from the program were religiously affiliated and controlled by churches. And the court ultimately concluded that the scholarship program ran afoul of the Montana Constitution by aiding schools controlled by churches. The Montana Constitution discriminates based on religious status, just like the Missouri policy in Trinity Lutheran, which excluded organizations owned or controlled by a church, sect, or other religious entity. The department points to some language in the decision below indicating that the no aid provision has the goal or effect of ensuring that government aid does not end up being used for sectarian education or religious education. The department also contrasts what it characterizes as the completely non-religious benefit of playground resurfacing in Trinity Lutheran with the unrestricted tuition aid at issue here. General school aid, the department stresses, could be used for religious ends by some recipients, particularly schools that believe faith should permeate everything they do. Regardless, those considerations were not the Montana Supreme Court's basis for applying the no aid provision to exclude religious schools that hinge solely on religious status. Status-based discrimination remains status-based even if one of its goals or effects is preventing religious organizations from putting aid to religious uses. Undeterred by Trinity Lutheran, the Montana Supreme Court applied the no-aid provision to hold that religious schools could not benefit from the scholarship program. So applied, the provision imposes special disabilities on the basis of religious status and conditions the availability of benefits upon a recipient's willingness to surrender its religiously impelled status. To be eligible for government aid under the Montana Constitution, a school must divorce itself from any religious control or affiliation. Placing such a condition on benefits or privileges inevitably deters or discourages the exercise of First Amendment rights. The Free Exercise Clause protects against even indirect coercion, and a state punishes the free exercise of religion by disqualifying the religious from government aid, as Montana did here. Such status-based discrimination is subject to the strictest scrutiny. None of this is meant to suggest that we agree with the department that some lesser degree of scrutiny applies to discrimination against religious uses of government aid. Some members of the court, moreover, have questioned whether there is a meaningful distinction between discrimination based on use or conduct and that based on status. We acknowledge the point, but need not examine it here. It is enough in this case to conclude that strict scrutiny applies under Trinity Lutheran because Montana's no-aid provision discriminates based on religious status. Seeking to avoid Trinity Lutheran, the department contends that this case is instead governed by Locke v. Davey. Locke also involved a scholarship program. The state of Washington provided scholarships paid out of the state's general fund to help students pursuing post-secondary education. The scholarships could be used at accredited religious and non-religious schools alike, but Washington prohibited students from using the scholarships to pursue devotional theology degrees, which prepared students for a calling as clergy. This prohibition prevented Davey from using his scholarship to obtain a degree that would have enabled him to become a pastor. We held that Washington had not violated the Free Exercise Clause. Locke differs from this case in two critical ways. First, Locke explained that Washington had merely chosen not to fund a distinct category of instruction, the essentially religious endeavor of training a minister to lead a congregation. Thus, Davey was denied a scholarship because of what he proposed to do, use the funds to prepare for the ministry. Apart from the narrow restriction, Washington's program allowed scholarships to be used at pervasively religious schools that incorporated religious instruction throughout their classes. By contrast, Montana's constitution does not zero in on any particular essentially religious course of instruction at a religious school. Rather, as we've explained, the no-aid provision bars all aid to a religious school simply because of what it is, putting the school to a choice between being religious or receiving government benefits. At the same time, the provision puts families to a choice between sending their children to a religious school or receiving such benefits. Second, Locke invoked a historic and substantial state interest in not funding the training of clergy, explaining that opposition to funding to support church leaders lay at the historic core of the religion clauses. As evidence of that tradition, the court in Locke emphasized that the propriety of state-supported clergy was a central subject of founding-era debates, and that most state constitutions from that era prohibited the expenditure of tax dollars to support the clergy. But no comparable historic and substantial tradition supports Montana's decision to disqualify religious schools from government aid. In the founding era and the early 19th century, governments provided financial support to private schools, including denominational ones. Far from prohibiting such support, the early state constitutions and statutes actively encouraged this policy. local governments provided grants to private schools, including religious ones, for the education of the poor. Even states with bans on government-supported clergy, such as New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Georgia, provided various forms of aid to religious schools. Early federal aid, often land grants, went to religious schools. Congress provided support to denominational schools in the District of Columbia until 1848, and Congress paid churches to run schools for American Indians through the end of the 19th century. After the Civil War, Congress spent large sums on education for emancipated freedmen, often by supporting denominational schools in the South through the Freedmen's Bureau. The department argues that a tradition against state support for religious schools arose in the second half of the 19th century as more than 30 states, including Montana, adopted no aid provisions. Such a development, of course, cannot by itself establish an early American tradition. Justice Sotomayor questions our reliance on aid provided during the same era by the Freedmen's Bureau. But we see no inconsistency in recognizing that such evidence may reinforce an early practice, but cannot create one. In addition, many of the no-aid provisions belong to a more checkered tradition shared with the Blaine Amendment of the 1870s. That proposal, which Congress nearly passed, would have added to the federal Constitution a provision similar to the state no-aid provisions, prohibiting states from aiding sectarian schools. It was an open secret that sectarian was a code for Catholic. The Blaine Amendment was born of bigotry and arose at a time of pervasive hostility to the Catholic Church and to Catholics in general. Many of its state counterparts have a similarly shameful pedigree. The no-aid provisions of the 19th century hardly evince a tradition that should inform our understanding of the Free Exercise Clause. The department argues that several states have rejected referendums to overturn or limit their no-aid provisions, and that Montana even readopted its own in the 1970s for reasons unrelated to anti-Catholic bigotry. But on the other side of the ledger, many states today, including those with no-aid provisions, provide support to religious schools through vouchers, scholarships, tax credits, and other measures. According to petitioners, 20 of 37 states with no-aid provisions allow religious options in publicly funded scholarship programs, and almost all allow religious options in tax credit programs. All to say, we agree with the department that the historical record is complex. And it is true that governments over time have taken a variety of approaches to religious schools, but it is clear that there is no historic and substantial tradition against aiding such schools comparable to the tradition against state-supported clergy invoked by Locke. Two dissenters would chart new courses. Justice Sotomayor would grant the government some room to single out religious entities for exclusion based on what she views as the interests embodied in the religion clauses. Justice Breyer, building on his solo opinion in Trinity Lutheran, would adopt a flexible, context-specific approach that may well vary from case to case. As best we can tell, courts applying this approach would contemplate the particular benefit and restriction at issue and discern their relationship to religion and society, taking into account context and consequences measured in light of the purposes of the religion clauses. What is clear is that Justice Breyer would afford much freer rein to judges than our current regime, arguing that there is no test-related substitute for the exercise of legal judgment. The simplest response is that these dissents follow from prior separate writings, not from the court's decision in Trinity Lutheran, or the decades of precedent on which it relied. These precedents have repeatedly confirmed the straightforward rule that we apply today. When otherwise eligible recipients are disqualified from a public benefit solely because of their religious character, we must apply strict scrutiny. This rule against express religious discrimination is no doctrinal innovation, far from it. As Trinity Lutheran explained, the rule is unremarkable in light of our prior decisions. For innovation, one must look to the dissents. Their roomy or flexible approaches to discrimination against religious organizations and observers would mark a significant departure from our free exercise precedents. The protections of the Free Exercise Clause do not depend on a judgment-by-judgment analysis regarding whether discrimination against religious adherents would somehow serve ill-defined interests. Because the Montana Supreme Court applied the no-aid provision to discriminate against schools and parents based on the religious character of the school, the strictest scrutiny is required. That stringent standard is not watered down, but really means what it says. To satisfy it, government action must advance interests of the highest order. and must be narrowly tailored in pursuit of those interests. The Montana Supreme Court asserted that the no-aid provision serves Montana's interest in separating church and state more fiercely than the federal Constitution, but that interest cannot qualify as compelling in the face of the infringement of free exercise here. A state's interest in achieving greater separation of church and state than is already ensured under the Establishment Clause is limited by the Free Exercise Clause. The department, for its part, asserts that the no-aid provision actually promotes religious freedom. In the department's view, the no-aid provision protects the religious liberty of taxpayers by ensuring that their taxes are not directed to religious organizations. And it safeguards the freedom of religious organizations by keeping the government out of their operations. An infringement of First Amendment rights, however, cannot be justified by a state's alternative view that the infringement advances religious liberty. Our federal system prizes state experimentation, but not state experimentation in the suppression of free speech. And the same goes for the free exercise of religion. Furthermore, we do not see how the no-aid provision promotes religious freedom. As noted, this court has repeatedly upheld government programs that spend taxpayer funds on equal aid to religious observers and organizations, particularly when the link between government and religion is attenuated by private choices. A school concerned about government involvement with its religious activities might reasonably decide for itself not to participate in a government program. But we doubt that the school's liberty is enhanced by eliminating any option to participate in the first place. The department's argument is especially unconvincing because the infringement of religious liberty here broadly affects both religious schools and adherents. Montana's no-aid provision imposes a categorical ban, broadly and strictly prohibiting any type of aid to religious schools. This prohibition is far more sweeping than the policy in Trinity Lutheran, which barred churches from one narrow program for playground resurfacing, causing, in all likelihood, only a few extra scraped knees. And the prohibition before us today burdens not only religious schools, but also the families whose children attend or hope to attend them. Drawing on enduring American tradition, we have long recognized the rights of parents to direct the religious upbringing of their children. Many parents exercise that right by sending their children to religious schools, a choice protected by the Constitution. But the no-aid provision penalizes that decision by cutting families off from otherwise available benefits if they choose a religious private school rather than a secular one, and for no other reason. The department also suggests that the no-aid provision advances Montana's interest in public education. According to the department, the no-aid provision safeguards the public school system by ensuring that government support is not diverted to private schools. But under that framing, the no-aid provision is fatally under-inclusive, because its proffered objectives are not pursued with respect to analogous non-religious conduct. On the department's view, an interest in public education is undermined by diverting government support to any private school, yet the no-aid provision bars aid only to religious ones. A law does not advance an interest of the highest order when it leaves appreciable damage to that supposedly vital interest unprohibited. Montana's interest in public education cannot justify a no-aid provision that requires only religious private schools to bear its weight. A state need not subsidize private education, but once a state decides to do so, it cannot disqualify some private schools solely because they are religious. The department argues that, at the end of the day, there's no free exercise violation here because the Montana Supreme Court ultimately eliminated the scholarship program altogether. According to the department, now that there is no program, religious schools and adherents cannot complain that they are excluded from any generally available benefit. Two dissenters agree. Justice Ginsburg reports that the state of Montana simply chose to put all private school parents in the same boat by invalidating the scholarship program. Justice Sotomayor describes the decision below as resting on state law grounds having nothing to do with the federal free exercise clause. The descriptions are not accurate. The Montana legislature created the scholarship program. The legislature never chose to end it for policy or other reasons. The program was eliminated by a court and not based on some innocuous principle of state law. Rather, the Montana Supreme Court invalidated the program pursuant to a state law provision that expressly discriminates on the basis of religious status. The court applied that provision to hold that religious schools were barred from participating in the program. Then, seeing no other mechanism to make absolutely sure that religious schools received no aid, the court chose to invalidate the entire program. The final step in this line of reasoning eliminated the program, to the detriment of religious and non-religious schools alike. But the court's error of federal law occurred at the beginning, when the court was called upon to apply a state law, no aid provision, to exclude religious schools from the program. It was obligated by the federal constitution to reject the invitation. Had the court recognized that this was indeed one of those cases in which application of the no aid provision would violate the free exercise clause, the court would not have proceeded to find a violation of that provision. And in the absence of such a state law violation, the court would have had no basis for terminating the program. Because the elimination of the program flowed directly from the Montana Supreme Court's failure to follow the dictates of federal law, it cannot be defended as a neutral policy decision, or as resting on adequate and independent state law grounds. The Supremacy Clause provides that the judges in every state shall be bound by the federal constitution, anything in the constitution or laws of any state to the contrary notwithstanding. This clause creates a rule of decision, directing state courts that they must not give effect to state laws that conflict with federal law. Given the conflict between the free exercise clause and the application of the no aid provision here, the Montana Supreme Court should have disregarded the no aid provision and decided this case conformably to the Constitution of the United States. That supreme law of the land condemns discrimination against religious schools and the families whose children attend them. They are members of the community too, and their exclusion from the scholarship program here is odious to our Constitution and cannot stand. The judgment of the Montana Supreme Court is reversed, and the case is remanded for further proceedings not inconsistent with this opinion. It is so ordered. Thank you so much for listening to our inaugural episode of the Supreme Opinion Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please share it with your friends. Please subscribe and come back.